Amen. Okay, so today and tomorrow, we'll be having 3 hours on the class of foot washing. And I hope that these 3 hours can be beneficial for everyone and that we can have a deeper understanding of this very essential part of our basic doctrines. Usually, we only hear about the teachings of foot washing like during the sacrament itself, and then maybe, and of course also in like SSC, right? So I think it's always good to spend time in the doctrine so that we can be rooted and convinced of these doctrines that have been revealed to us. Okay. In these 3 hours, I'd like to cover the following topics. Let's go to the next slide. I'd like to cover, just first, we're going to read our statement of faith on foot washing, and then talk about how it is one of our three sacraments. Then talk about the washing of feet more in a general sense in the Bible. And then talk about how what Jesus did the night he was betrayed was a very uncustomary action. Then we want to talk about what it means to have a part with the Lord Jesus, touch upon mutual foot washing, and then talk about the teachings that are derived from foot washing. And then if we have time, it's not so important, but we can talk about some historical references to foot washing. Okay. Also, I like to always learn names. So let's see. I think I know your brother Anthony, right? Okay, yeah. I think I know. I remember seeing you last year. What was your name? Yeah. Gary. Okay. Which church are you from? Taiwan. Oh, okay. You were here last year? Okay. Welcome again. You are Dexter? Okay, Dexter. From Edmonton? And then, is that Alex? No. Okay, no. What's your name? In the white shirt.
Neil.
Neil. Okay, where are you from?
Taiwan.
Okay, and then the brother next to you? Hen. Hank. Where are you from?
Taiwan,
okay. The brother behind you, Mike, where are you from?
Vancouver,
okay. All right. Working over here now, sister next, what's your name?
Lily.
Okay, Lily. You are Elaine, okay. Jeffrey's sister, what's your name again?
Angela.
Angela, yeah. Okay. Sister, what's your, oh yeah, Victoria, okay, I almost didn't recognize you, okay. And sister, what's your name behind, over here? Yeah.
Mina.
From Korea. And Laura, Mina and Laura. Okay. Sister, what's your name?
Jennifer, where are you from?
From?
East Bay.
Okay, Jennifer. And, I've met you. What's your name? Tiffany, right, Tiffany. And then, okay, yes, okay. Sister, what's your name?
Huh?
Christelle, where are you from? Paris, okay. What's your name?
Lillian.
Where are you from?
Vancouver,
okay. All right, so
Yeah, thanks. Hopefully I can remember these. Okay, my name is Samuel, if you don't know me. And I'm now pastoring in Flushing, New York, and Boston, Massachusetts. Okay. All right, let's jump two slides. This is our statement of faith on foot washing. Let's read it together. Or you can also turn to your hymn book. On page 629, number 6. Okay, here we go. We have it on the slide. Let's read this together out loud. 1, 2, 3. We believe that the sacrament of foot washing enables one to have part with the Lord Jesus Christ. It also serves as a constant reminder that one should have love, holiness, humility, forgiveness, and service. Every person who has received water baptism must have his or her feet washed once in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mutual foot washing may be practiced whenever it is appropriate. Okay. Please memorize this. Okay. Please memorize this. If you're from a non-English speaking country, you can memorize it in your native language. Okay. But if you can, memorize it in English. There should be like Chinese equivalent or Korean equivalent. Okay. So also, what I want you to do is please, if we go to the previous slide, please read John chapter 13, verses 1 through 20. You know, I put three times, but the important isn't really the amount of time, the quantity, but more like just you really process it. Okay? Process the scripture, the text. We will read it in a moment, but try to read it again and meditate on it and try to digest it. Because this is where we get our doctrine and teachings from. Okay. Let's turn to John chapter 13 now. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 20. Let's take turns reading. We'll start with Maya and go along the pew and then snake back across as much as we need. Okay. Please read aloud for everyone. Maya? Verse 6, yep, Anthony.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Amen. So please spend some time to read this over a few times and learn this chapter, right? Because in the future, as you are sharing your faith with your friends or people who visit the church, foot washing will probably come up, and we want to be familiar with the passage, right? Familiar with this doctrine. Okay, let's now go to the next slide. And the next slide. Okay, this is where we just read the text where the sacrament of foot washing comes from. And one of the things I really wanted to point out to everyone, which you probably might know already, is that this particular doctrine, to believe that foot washing is a sacrament, which we'll define later, this is very unique to us as a church. There's no other denomination or church that I know of, and then I've also tried to do some searching online that the internet knows of, possibly, that has foot washing as a sacrament. And other churches and denominations would probably still practice foot washing, but not as a sacrament. It might be like mutual foot washing, showing humility and forgiveness to one another. But it could even be a ceremony, but definitely not as a sacrament, something that imparts salvation, right? Okay. So, for example, if we talk about the Roman Catholic Church, they're not the only ones who practice foot washing, by the way, but it might be that one of the more visible cases is on Thursday of the Holy Week, which they call Maundy Thursday, the Pope washes the feet of 12 priests. Okay, and then a couple years ago, Pope Francis kind of made news in the religious world when he washed the feet, not just of priests, but of, I think, a couple Muslims, and then I want to say prisoners or something like that. Okay. So, you know, they do that too as like a ceremony, but not for imparting salvation. Okay. Now let's talk about, well, we already mentioned that it's very unique as a, because we define foot washing, at least one portion of it, as a sacrament. Let's define now sacrament. But before we go to the next slide, I want to ask a question. Is the word sacrament found in the Bible? How many of us say, yes, sacrament is found in the Bible? Okay. How many of us say, no, it's not found in the Bible? Okay, we have more no's than yeses. Okay. The answer is yes and no. Okay, in the English Bible, you won't see the word sacrament, right? But sacrament is found in the Latin translation of the Bible. So sacrament comes from the Latin word sacramentum. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but sacramentum, okay. Sacramentum comes from the translation of a Greek word, mysterion. Which is where we get the word mystery from in English, mystery. Okay, so a lot of times when you see mystery in the English translation of the Bible, the original Greek text behind it is mysterion. And then most likely, the Latin translation of that particular word will have sacramentum there, right? Let's go to the next slide. Right, so this is what I've written here. Let's actually take a look at an example, right? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. We left off with... Lydia, did you read? Okay. Then, Ya-ting. Ya-ting, please read. Verse 32. Okay, this is a great mystery. I wish I could show you it here, but I also have a Latin Bible here, and you'll see it's written sacramentum right there. Let's look at another example, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Angela. Okay, all right, thank you. Again, this is another example, right? Just for your reference. Now, so in classical times, sacrament referred to also like an oath or an obligation. But then eventually it took on the meaning of something that's set apart. But also that it kind of still embeds the meaning that there's a mystery inside of it. Okay? So this is important for us to keep in mind because when eventually sacrament came to be used as something that is practiced in the church for like salvation, the mystery portion of it is already in there, okay, which sometimes we might have lost that sense of, right? And I'll explain myself in a little more too, right? Let's go to the next slide, right? Because, oh, this is what I already mentioned. Let's go to the next slide. Right, so this is what you often learn in SSC and in church. What constitutes a sacrament? Number one, it's directly related to one's salvation. Secondly, Jesus set the example himself. And third, Jesus commanded his disciples to do it. Okay, please, let's go back to the previous slide. Okay, let's... pop quiz, right? And you should know that. What constitutes a sacrament? Let me ask Daniel, Kim. Okay. So the second one, told by Jesus, is more like established by Jesus himself, right? And then thirdly, he also commanded his disciples to do likewise, right? This is something that's very basic that you should know already, right? So I think there's going to be a test, right? Counselors? Yeah, so this should be like easy credit, okay? I think we're going to test on it. Directly, let's go to the next slide. Directly related to salvation, Jesus set the example himself. Jesus commanded his disciples to do it. Right. I'm only saying that you should know this and I'm assuming that you kind of grew up in the church, but if you came to the church a little bit later, then it's good to learn it now too. Okay, I don't want to demean anybody.
Okay.
But what constitutes a sacrament?
It's directly related to one's salvation. Jesus set the example himself. Jesus commanded his disciples to do it.
And so in the three sacraments we have in our church, water baptism, Holy Communion,
and foot washing,
we use something material, we consecrate it, like pray,
and then it becomes something spiritual, some kind of spiritual material. It's a mystery, that's the mystery part, right? Because we can't see that, we can't test that with instruments.
Right? It's something that's in the spiritual world that we believe by faith.
Okay, so
the fact that we are praying and consecrating something material and it becomes spiritual, that's where the mystery comes in, right? Because some people might say, like, love could qualify as a sacrament then, right? Love is directly related to one's salvation. You have to love your neighbor as yourself. One of the ways God is going to judge on the last day based on Matthew chapter 25, there's that parable of the sheep and goats. The sheep really loved their neighbors. The goats, they didn't do anything, right? And then so God divided them in two, and then he welcomed the sheep. So love is related to one's salvation. Jesus obviously set the example of love, even dying on a cross. And Jesus also commanded his disciples, love one another. He said that so many times. So you could say, hey, love qualifies as a sacrament. Or somebody might say, prayer qualifies as a sacrament, right? Prayer, maybe it's not, maybe it's not so directly related, but it's related to salvation. Jesus set the example himself. Jesus also told his disciples to pray. So what about those things? Well, remember, again, there's that mystery component of sacrament, right? Which we kind of maybe have lost because in English, we just know sacrament, the word. But whereas the Greeks, when they were using, or maybe even the Italians, the Romans, when they were using Latin, they would already have that concept in their mind.
Okay. Any questions up until this point?
All right, let me just also ask a couple questions. How does water baptism then qualify? Can you go through the reasoning? How come water baptism qualifies as a sacrament? Let me ask Victoria. Shay, can you explain? How come water baptism qualifies? Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, he did. In Matthew 28:19, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right. Okay. And then can you kind of talk about the mystery part now?
Yeah. How
the physical washing of water actually
makes
your spirit. Okay. Hey, wait, say
again? So how full immersion in the physical body of water and spiritually
make your spirit. Okay. All right. So even to add a little bit more, it can make our spirit clean through the blood of Jesus, right? Based on 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, it says that there, or verse 8, it says there are three that testify on the earth. Water, blood, and the Holy Spirit, right? So, and these three are one. So the Holy Spirit bears witness that this body of living water has the blood of Jesus Christ in the water. From an outsider point of view, from a non-believer point of view, it just looks like two people or three people are in the water
washing another person, right? But there's that, you know, there's the, that mystery in there, right? Because we pray in the Holy Spirit bears witness, the water's there, the blood is there, so that blood can wash away our sins. Let's also ask about Holy Communion. How does Holy Communion qualify as a sacrament? Let's ask Joseph. So, during the Last Supper, okay. Can you repeat that last part? Okay, to be even more precise, right? Let's turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Why is it directly related to salvation? John chapter 6, verse 53 and 54. John chapter 6, verses 53 and 54. Let us ask, well, Joseph, can you please read that? Okay, amen. So how does someone receive salvation or the grace of salvation through Holy Communion? Well, when you eat his flesh, eat his, drink his blood, Jesus will raise you up on the last day and you will have eternal life. Okay, you will have eternal life. Okay. So you can see water baptism and Holy Communion qualify as sacraments. Right? We will now go into more detail about foot washing as a sacrament itself, right? Let's now, I think it'll become clearer as we go through this hour and the next 2 hours that how indeed foot washing is directly related to one's salvation. Jesus obviously set the example himself, and then Jesus also commanded his disciples to do likewise. Okay. Let's go to the next slide now. Okay. This is a slide just showing some of the various places in the Bible where feet were washed. Okay, and there are different, you can categorize it in different ways. I just categorized it in like four ways, and then the fifth way is more as a sacrament, right? So let's go through some of these examples. Why did people practice foot washing in ancient times? One was because of hygiene. Let's look at 2 Samuel 11, verse 8. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Verse 8. Victoria, please read for us. Okay, this is, of course, David, I think we're all familiar with this story. He told Uriah to go back to his house and wash his feet. And washing his feet here can be kind of be taken as to also mean like go home, get comfortable, you know, be with your wife too, right? Be with your wife. Okay. So washing the feet, because they don't have shoes like we have today. They wore sandals, so their feet would often get dirty, and then very naturally you will want to wash your feet before you retire to go to bed, right? Let's go to Song of Songs chapter 5. Verse 3 as well. Song of Solomon chapter 5 verse Three. I think this might be even more clear. Jackie. Okay, so here the Shulamite woman was describing how she had already cleaned, right? She had bathed or cleansed, and then she also washed her own feet before she was sleeping. So it's for hygienic reasons, right? Let's now go to the second category for showing hospitality. Let's look at a few examples. Let's turn to Genesis 18, verse 4. Genesis 18, verse 4. Danny Chen. Okay. This particular passage is talking about how three visitors came to talk to Abraham. And when they came, Abraham saw them from a distance, went from his tent door to meet them, and even bowed himself to the ground. And then he asked that his own servant bring some water to these guests so that they could wash their own feet. Let's also turn to Genesis 43. Let's go to this one. 43:24. Genesis 43:24. Genesis chapter 43, verse 24. Kyle. Okay, amen. This is when the brothers of Joseph came to visit Joseph in Egypt. As we can see in Egypt at that time too, like this is just the custom in that whole world. They also brought water for them and they washed their feet, okay, to receive them, to show hospitality to these visitors, to these guests. Let's also jump to the New Testament now. Let's look at, let's see here, 1 Timothy 5, verse 10. Oh, let's look at Luke first. Luke chapter 7, verse 44. Luke chapter 7, verse 44. Luke chapter 7, verse 44. Jeffrey. Okay, amen. This is one time Jesus was, he came to a Pharisee's house and he sat down to eat. And then there was this, probably an adulterous woman. Verse 37 says there's a woman in the city who was a sinner. So it's probably an adulterer. She came and then she anointed a flask of fragrant oil, and then also was weeping on Jesus' feet and began to wash and wipe his feet with her hair. Okay. And then, well, Jesus was making a comparison between the woman and then Simon who received him, and he said, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet." Right? So it was customary, if you really welcome somebody, you would give them some water to wash their feet. Maybe very much like if somebody visits your house, visits your apartment, one of the things you would probably offer is like, "Hey, do you want a drink? Do you want a water?" Right. Okay, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10. Jake. Or verse 9 and 10.
Okay, thank you. Amen. This is a passage in a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, and they were talking about how to take care of widows, how the church should take care of widows, and there were certain principles to follow. And so the church would not financially aid a widow unless these certain criteria were met. And one of the criteria was if she has washed the saints' feet. Right? So here, because it's immediately after, if she has lodged strangers, right? If she has washed the saints' feet, to me it's also a sign of hospitality. If she has served in the church receiving both strangers, like who may not have believed in Jesus yet and are maybe learning, right? Or it could also be believers who were unknown to her. And then, or also saints, right? Workers coming to the church and then she receiving them. All right, so I will also put this under hospitality. That's the second category. Third category, cultic. Cultic in the sense that it's part of some priestly duties. Okay, priestly duties. Don't think of the word cultic as like a cult. Because cult now has a very negative connotation. Cultic. Let's turn to Exodus 30, 17 to 21. Exodus 30, 17 to 21. Anthony, it's high. Okay, thank you. Here is talking about some of the furnishings for the tabernacle. One of the things that they made was a bronze laver, which is basically like a very big bowl or tub. And when the priests were to go into the tabernacle, before they could go in, they had to wash their hands and their feet. Right, so this is some of the duties they had to do, otherwise they would die. Okay. Let's also turn to 1 Samuel 25, verse 41. 1 Samuel 25, verse 41. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 41. Ryan. Okay, amen. So usually, at least from what I understood, you wash your own feet. But also, slaves could be asked to do that too, right? And then here, Abigail, who was humbling herself before David, she was basically saying that I'm willing to be like your servant, your slave. Okay? And it was saying, here is your maidservant, a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. So this is one of the more clear, I don't think there's any other verse in the Bible that really shows how really it was the work of slaves. But this is probably the closest one. Slaves sometimes had to wash their master's feet. Okay. So these are just some of the cultural practices at that time, why they would wash feet. And the reason why we looked at all these verses is that we want to see the contrast of what was practiced back then in general, both for hygiene, hospitality, the priests, and then for slaves, and then see how that contrasts with what Jesus did. Because what Jesus did
was very special. And it wasn't just him expanding on a cultural phenomenon or a custom at the time to just teach people. No, there was actually something very special and related to salvation inside of what Jesus did. So that's where we will continue tomorrow. Any questions up to this point? Anything on this slide that wasn't clear? Okay. So again, memorize the statement of faith and also spend some time to read John 13 when you have some free time. Let's now bow our heads and pray in silence.